Gentlemen and Company, 102.5, 106.3, the game, streaming live on Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, and Facebook Live. Live from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios. Today I was out on the practice field and I was zeroed in on the offensive line. I saw Big Joe actually has binoculars with him because, you know, they kind of sit far away. And so Big Joe will put the binoculars up and watch a little bit of practice. And quite frankly, I'm thinking I might need to do the same thing. Might need to get some binoculars, but I had a very clear view of the offensive line today, and as I have every day that I've been out there at training camp, I have watched the offensive line. They were so-so. That's the way I would put it. They were so-so. They weren't great. They weren't horrendous. Gave up too many sacks. Latham gave one up. Cushenberry gave one up. The right side gave two in a row up. Landry beat PT off the edge, hit Levis. Ball went fluttering on third down, and that was the end of the drive. And then Malik and his crew went out there, and then I was like, oh, man, let's put the good players back up. And so I said at the beginning of the show, Levis looks like he's doing absolutely, positively everything that he needs to be successful. Today, I saw him dump the ball off. I saw him hit Calvin Ridley 40 yards, 50 yards down the field in stride for a bomb, granted on Trey Avery, but I saw it. Saw him throw the ball away on one where he slid his protection to the left. I watched him break contain and run on a scramble for 30 yards. I mean, again, everything he was supposed to do, I thought he did well. And so I am convinced that if they give him an opportunity, if they can protect for him, he's got a chance to be a pretty good player. And I was thinking today after watching that, watching his press conference and watching the way the coach talks about him and knowing what we know about the problems that the Titans have on the right side of the offensive line, and really, let's not kid ourselves, it is so much inexperience on the left side. You know, it is well documented that Andy Reid wanted to draft Paxton Lynch in 2016. In fact, Jerry Jones publicly bemoaned the fact that they weren't quick enough on the trigger to get up in the first round to draft Paxton Lynch. Instead, it was Denver who took Paxton Lynch in the first round. Jerry Jones was beside himself that they didn't make the trade to get back into the first round to take Paxton Lynch. They had to settle for taking Dak Prescott in the fourth round. Gee, I wonder who won that one. Meanwhile, as we know with Kansas City, Andy Reid, thinking long-term, wanting to eventually move off of Alex Smith to a quarterback he could win with, decided, you know, Paxton Lynch is my guy. And he went up to try to get Paxton Lynch, and he couldn't get him. And we know what happened a year later in the draft, and we know who their quarterback is, and I think Kansas City will be fine. But here's my question. If Andy Reid had been the one to draft Paxton Lynch, would Paxton Lynch have been the bust that he is today? I mean, I think Paxton Lynch is getting cut from like these XFL teams. Would he be the bust that he is? And then I think the other side of this is if Mahomes had gone to a bad organization. The Chicago Bears picked second in 2017, and they drafted Mitch Trubisky. Now, I never liked Trubisky coming out. I didn't totally understand the Trubisky thing, but Trubisky was considered by every guru out there to be QB1 in that class. But had the Chicago Bears, a dumb organization, with John Fox as their coach, had the Chicago Bears taken Patrick Mahomes with the number two pick, would Patrick Mahomes be the superstar, the lock, the first ballot Hall of Famer that we all know he's going to be? Would he be that? I don't know the answer to that. And that, again, takes me to Will Levis. How much of Will Levis's success is going to be determined by Will Levis? How much of it's going to be determined by Will Levis's ability, his processing skills, his work ethic, his desire? Everybody in sports, every coach tells every player, control what you can control. Every player tells the media, I'm only worried about what I can control. Because Will Levis, it's not his job to worry about who the right tackle is. But we're all smart enough to know that a lot of these organizations ruin these quarterbacks. And maybe Paxton Lynch is an example of that. If Paxton goes to the Dallas Cowboys with the great offensive line, with Tyron Smith in his prime and Ezekiel Elliott running the ball and the receivers they had, and is Paxton Lynch still the starter in Dallas making $50 million a year? I don't know. If Mahomes goes to a bad team, if Mahomes goes to the Jets in 2017, instead of Jamal Adams, if they pick Patrick Mahomes and they stick him out there right away without Tyreek Hill, without Travis Kelce, without Andy Reid as his coach, is Mahomes still a superstar? They've given Will Levis some receivers, but Will Levis doesn't have a top 10 receiver in the league. I don't even think Calvin Ridley is a true number one receiver. They've given him an offensive guru coach in Brian Callahan. Now, we don't know how good of a guru Brian Callahan is, but he is, you know, a guru, so that's good. And they've given him Bill Callahan as the offensive line coach. But they don't have a right guard, and they don't have a right tackle. And it is apparent in practice that this offensive line is at best a work in progress. God bless Chris Sanders. I love him with all my heart. He is overtly positive sometimes. And when I listen to him say, well, you know, I think it'll all work because of Bill Callahan, I'm like, that is wishful thinking at its finest. I worry that everybody is concerned about the wrong thing. Everybody is sitting here wondering, can Levis be a franchise quarterback? And I'm wondering, can they give Levis the opportunity to be a franchise quarterback? If you watch Tom Brady's docuseries, Man in the Arena, each episode, it's done similar to The Last Dance, the Michael Jordan documentary, from the standpoint that it's, I believe, 9 episodes. I think they cover every Super Bowl that Brady played in. So I guess that would be 10, because he lost 3 in New England. So there's 10 episodes, and they chronicle each Super Bowl or each Brady run or something like that. And in it, Drew Bledsoe is one of the first kind of in-depth interviews that they do. Each episode of the Brady docuseries has Brady and 2 other people. And the first one, it's Bledsoe and Willie McGinnis. And Bledsoe said when he got into the huddle on the first day of training camp, he looked at his offensive line and he said, we got a chance. Veteran players, big guys, talented individuals, guys like Damian Woody, Mike Compton. And he said, we've got a chance. Because at that point, Bledsoe was a 6-7 year pro. So he knew, hey, if you've got an offensive line, you've got a shot. I was talking today and I said, look, if you can't block, you can't win. And I think we all would acknowledge that's the reality in this league. So when it comes to Levis, we're all wanting to know, can he be the guy? Because if he is the guy, then he is the guy that's going to get the $250 million and the $58 million a year, $60 million by the time he signs a contract, whatever. But again, how much of this is really about him? How much of Bryce Young's failings last year were because of Bryce Young? And how much of his failings were because Carolina is an inept organization? How much of C.J. Stroud's success is about the great C.J. Stroud, and how much of it is about the fact that he's got Bobby Slowick, Kyle Shanahan's right-hand man as his offensive coordinator, a number one tight end Dalton Schultz, a $30 million left tackle, a number one guard that was taken in the draft? I mean, how much of it's that? They went out and got him Stephon Diggs this offseason. How much of the success is everybody around the young quarterback? And so when I was at practice today and I saw Levis and I saw the composure that he has and I saw some of the throws that he made and I saw the ball going where it was going, I got excited. But I also kept in mind that, hey, Harold Landry, Jeffrey Simmons, Tavondre Sweat, those guys are having their way getting into the backfield, getting to the quarterback. And when it's Chicago week one, they can hit him. When it's New York week two, they can hit him. Landry is not hitting him in practice. But once they start to hit the quarterback, things change a little bit. And it's not just offensive line, it's everything. Does he have the right receivers? Doesn't really have a tight end, but he does have two pass-catching running backs. Does he have the right coach? Does he have the right everything around him? And I go back to Paxton Lynch. If Paxton Lynch ends up a Chief, how much of Paxton Lynch's success ends up becoming because of Andy, Travis Kelce, Tyreek Hill? And if Mahomes doesn't go to the Chiefs, is he still a first ballot Hall of Famer? 615-737-1025 is our phone number, 615-737-1025. Plus, one thing I asked Levis about today that I really didn't know the answer to, and I do wonder how important it is. We'll get to that coming up next. What are you wearing? David, what are you wearing?
He's wearing his Middle Tennessee tank top.
I wore my workout gear.
His workout gear.
Oh, my God. 615-737-1025 is our phone number on the program. Stillman & Company, 1025-1063, The Game. Let's talk Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. That's right. I love Hiller. They take great care of my home, and they can do the exact same for you. I absolutely love Hiller. Again, I entrust them with everything, and you should do the exact same. Summer is over, and it's time to get ready for school to start. So even though the kids are headed back to school, you can leave the homework to my friends at Hiller. This month, enjoy back-to-school savings with offers like a $99 drain cleaning, $500 off select high-efficiency HVAC systems, $500 off new tankless water heaters, and $1,000 off a whole home generator. Visit happyhiller.com today for details. That's Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. My guys, proud supporters of the Preds, the Vols, and Vandy. Hiller, call the Happy Face Truck today.
Specifically with kind of the two new guys now in the first group on the offensive line on the right side, is there a chemistry between the quarterback and the line the way that there is a chemistry between the quarterback and the pass catchers?
Yes, I'd say so to a certain extent. It's knowing your strengths and weaknesses of your guys. I think I could point to a couple things of just knowing maybe where it's more so based on the defense and what their moves are and the kind of pressures that we're expecting and pass rush moves as to where they potentially could get, you know, lose some leverage, and that could affect where, you know, our escape pattern is or where our movement in the pocket could be. But I don't think that there is as much as a technical chemistry as there is with the guys you have to have outside, just with how precise a lot of those throws have to be. But it's more of a feel thing. You're not really looking at the guy. Obviously, it's feeling where he is in space and being able to move off of that and have comfortability to move in any direction regardless of what happens.
Was it tough with all the changes last year? Did you have to do a playing to adjust to that with different guys around there?
Yeah, no, I think it's just more so the feel thing rather than being aware of who the actual guy is. You can't. It's hard to change your mindset of playing in terms of, like, I can really only go, you know, 1-2 to check down here. Oh, I can actually get through my read this play. It's something you can't say or think of pre-snap. It has to be a feel thing throughout the play as it progresses to know what's appropriate in that moment. So no, I didn't pay much mind to it. I just tried to instill as much confidence I could into anyone who was up there doing their job, and that's all you can do.
That was Will Levis today, and I asked him, I said, does the chemistry with the offensive line, is that a big deal? Does that matter? And he kind of said yes. Like, he kind of said, yeah, you know, it matters. It allows me to know what I can and cannot do, whereas the chemistry with the receiver is, hey, you know, when I deliver the ball on this out route, you know, this, I need you 7 yards because I'm putting the ball here to throw you open. And yet I kept thinking back to last year where they just kept swapping spit at all these different positions. And I do wonder, like, does that hurt the young quarterback? So when Levis kind of gives me a 75% yes, the chemistry with the offensive line does matter, but it's not the same as receivers, it makes me realize they need to get him 6 guys and be done with it. 6 guys. A left tackle, a left guard, a center, a right guard, a right tackle, and a swing tackle. And be done with it. Because while I do commend Brian Callahan and the Titans this year for doing something that the Titans last year weren't willing to do, which is actually have guys earn positions. There is a limited amount of time that they have to get this all figured out. And I told you yesterday, I don't think the right guard of this team is on the roster. Raidens, God bless him. And I'm rooting for Raidens. I even asked Raidens a question today where I asked him, you know, everyone was asked about how do you feel about playing at guard and how do you feel about Bill Callahan and what do you think about Sadiq Charles and what do you, and I said, how much do you think about what you've been through in order to get here? And he was like, a lot. But I got good people around me and I believe in God and so on and so forth. And it's great. So while I'm rooting for him, and I know he's been through a lot, I'm also not betting on him. At some point, the Titans are going to have to get six guys and five and that one kind of do-it-all backup, and then you got to let Levis settle in with these guys. Because Levis is telling you, hey, based on the different guys, I know what to expect. If he knows Nicholas Petitfrere, a.k.a.
PT.
If he knows PT is good laterally on his feet and is used to it, so he knows, hey, these guys aren't going to beat them off the edge, but he might get bull rushed into me, then that changes how Levis operates and how he can move his body and what they call feel the pocket. And I'm not saying that, hey, you need five guys that are all pros and that Levis should be able to line up in the shotgun and send five guys out into every pattern on third and 27 and not expect there to be some sort of pressure. This is the NFL. Everybody gets pressure. But Levis does need a rhythm to get into. And the musical offensive lineman that they played with last year, that's not going to cut it. I also wonder when I talk about the organization and the responsibility that the organization has on making the young quarterback a success compared to just, he'll do it, it's all on him. I do wonder how much the mistakes they made last year in free agency and in the draft, how much that is hurting them this year. Like, how much is it a problem that they did not go after Mike McGlinchey last year to play right tackle? Well, Mike McGlinchey isn't that good. Mike McGlinchey is a starting NFL right tackle. You, and again, I know you guys hate when I bring this up, you do not have a starting NFL right tackle. So I do wonder about those things. Phone lines driven by Wilson County, Hyundai.com, 615-737-1025. One texter says, do not forget, Jerry Jones, the same year that he missed on Paxton Lynch and was beside himself that he missed on Paxton Lynch, Jerry Jones was upset that he didn't draft Connor Cook. That's true. They were on the phone in the fourth round trying to make a deal to get Connor Cook, who started one playoff game for the Raiders, was terrible, and I don't even know if he exists anymore. And Jerry was disappointed they didn't get him, and the consolation prize for screwing up the first round and screwing up the fourth round was Dak Prescott. And that takes me back to the same question, which is, if Connor Cook goes to Dallas with that offensive line, with that running game with Zeke, with that... is Connor Cook still in the league? And the answer is probably no. I mean, after all, Dak, I thought Dak was kind of underrated in college, given the fact that he got Mississippi State into the number one spot in the country, which I don't know if you guys are aware of this, but Mississippi State usually does not occupy. That should at least mean something. But, I mean, Jerry was sad that he ended up with Dak, and Dak's been his quarterback for the last 7 years. But I still go back to, you know, if Levis doesn't work, is it going to be Levis's fault? Or is it the fact that they keep screwing things up? One texter says, does Levis practice his press conference? I'm in corporate sales training, and I've never encountered a 25-year-old with his conversation skills. I could not tell you if Will Levis practices his press conferences. And let me say this. If Will Levis did practice his press conferences, I actually think that would be a pretty telling thing about how seriously he takes every aspect of the job. I think some people would dog him, saying, oh, you're worried about your press conferences, and you're worried about your reputation, and you're worried about what people think of you, and you're worried about... And I look at it as, that's a part of the job. You know, when you're the quarterback, you're the most valuable part of a multi-billion dollar organization. This massive company, you're a huge part of it. And speaking to the public is a big part of being a humongous lever on a Fortune 500 company, on a billion-dollar company. But I promise you, if it got out that Levis was practicing his press conferences, people would kill him for that. But I don't know if he does or he doesn't. I'll say this. I sat down with Levis at the Super Bowl for about 10 minutes at 9 o'clock at night after he had spent 3 hours playing ping pong with Trevor Lawrence and Saquon Barkley at some event for Tide. And I just remember how tight Levis was. And it's like, calm down, big fella. It'll be okay. You know, it's okay. I sat down. I'm like, man, this guy, he's a baby. He's so young. Really strikes you. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. 615-737-1025. Coming up next, speaking of Will Levis's press conference, out of nowhere, Will Levis, I think, threw kindling on a fire that I believe, Ian, I started.
Okay.
We'll get to that coming up next. Stillman and Company, 1025-1063. The game, 615-737-1025. The Sounds take on the Indianapolis Indians tonight at 635. Coverage is on the 94.9 The Fan app and at 94.9thefan.com. Sounds baseball on 94.9 The Fan. Presented by Twin Peaks, Family Leisure, Five Points Roofing, Caudill Vet Clinic, and Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning.
I heard Jared talking about it the other day. Well, yesterday. And he said Nick Westbrook-Ikhine. Nah, this has nothing to do with Nick Westbrook-Ikhine. They know what Nick is. They know how to use Nick Westbrook-Ikhine. They're not, D-Hop gets injured. To me, elevating Nick Westbrook-Ikhine is not what you do. You elevate Treylon Burks because he's your first-round pick. And you need to see, like, okay, is he going to be consistent this season? Is he going to stay on the field? I need to see what I really got in this guy. Nick Westbrook-Ikhine, I know who he is. I know what he is. He does make plays, but he's not a one or a two. He's a three and a four. He's a good three or four. But this is an opportunity for you to really get a look at Treylon Burks. This is an opportunity for Treylon Burks to really build a rapport with Will Levis because they're going to need it.
That was Derek last week when the DeAndre Hopkins news came out that DeAndre Hopkins would be out 4 to 6 weeks, to which I said, hey, this may mean nothing as far as the games are concerned. DeAndre might be ready to go week one against Chicago. If it's 4 weeks, he's ready to go against Chicago. If it's 6 weeks, he misses Chicago, he misses the Jets, and he comes back week three. And if that's the case, somebody's going to have to play that spot. Tyler Boyd is a slot receiver. He is not an outside receiver. And everybody's just ready to say, all right, Treylon Burks, it's your turn. And I said, whoa, whoa, whoa. Hold off on the whole entitled thing when it comes to Treylon Burks. Let's let him earn it. Today in practice, from what I saw, Burks wasn't anything special. In fact, his last rep, he went up for a contested catch on the sideline, and he came down funny, and he started grabbing his side, and he had to go see a trainer, and it was typical Burks. I was like, oh, Burks is hurt again. Now, apparently, Burks went back in, so I guess he just walked it off. But, I mean, again, we keep saying, hey, this is the opportunity for Burks. This is the time for Burks. And I just keep saying, hey, if Chicago was tomorrow, and you had to bet your home on NWI or Treylon Burks to come through for the Titans, who would you bet your home on? And I took a straw poll at practice the other day, and most people, I think it was like 7-0, said NWI. Now, I'm fine with Burks getting the first crack at it, but Burks needs to make an impact. And if not, they need to give Nick Westbrook-Ikhine the opportunity. Well, today, Will Levis was asked a question, not about NWI, but about who at receiver has stood out to him. Here's what the young quarterback said.
Guys that you were with last year that you've seen make big strides this offseason so far in camp, I guess at the receiver position.
I mean, you got to give credit to NWI. Like, Nick's been playing well. He's always been a guy who's on his stuff, and other receivers are always looking to him to learn from and to make sure that they're on their stuff because they know Nick's going to be coming prepared every day. He's a guy who doesn't get enough credit around here in this building, deserves a lot of opportunities, and, you know, he got paid for a reason. So he's such a great part of this team, and he deserves, a lot of looks.
First of all, I don't think NWI got paid. Like, I think NWI is making like $1 million. But regardless, it wasn't like Will Levis said, hey, I'm impressed with all the guys. Because that's what most quarterbacks do. Hey, who was on this team last year that you feel like has really stepped it up? Oh, man, I'll tell you, I'm really proud of all these guys. Yeah, NWI has been nothing but consistent. Traylon has showed the talent that he has. DeAndre and I have really worked together. You know, Tajay Spears really has that explosion out of the backfield. Josh Wiley's gotten better and better. Chig is more consistent. I mean, I'm just so proud of all the guys. That's the normal answer. Instead, Will Levis just said, NWI. And the other thing he said that I was a little surprised by in that cut, did you hear the kind of surprising thing he said there, Ian?
What was that?
He said he doesn't get enough respect in the building. He doesn't get enough respect in the building. It wasn't a, hey, everybody in this building believes in Nick Westbrook-Ikhine. You guys just write him off. It was he doesn't get enough respect in the building. And it made me wonder, is the quarterback trying to send a message to the coaching staff? Again, Levis is not going to come out and say, hey, if DeAndre's out for 2 games, I want NWI at that spot. I feel more comfortable with Nick Westbrook-Ikhine at that spot. He's not going to come out and say that publicly, and he shouldn't come out and say that publicly. But I hear that, and I'm like, I wonder if this is Levis going to the coaching staff in a roundabout way and saying, hey, if it comes down to those two guys, who's going to play a majority of the plays between the two of them, I'd rather trust NWI out there than I would trust Traylon Burks. And here's the question I would ask Derek. And I don't want to put words into Derek's mouth because I don't know what Derek would say. But here's the question that I have. You're the coach. Forget about offensive coordinator and quarterback. Brian Callahan runs the offense. So you're the coach. And ahead of the Chicago game, your young quarterback comes up to you and says, I want Nick out on the field. Well, you know, Traylon has shown us that he can X, Y, Z. I know. I want Traylon Burks on the field. I mean, I want NWI on the field. I trust him. I've got a great chemistry with him. He's just makes so many plays for me in practice. I believe in him. Now what do you do? Again, you're the coach. You're putting together the game plan. You've said with DeAndre out, Burks is going to get the first crack at it. Burks today was fine. But the quarterback, the guy who throws the ball, comes up to you and says, I trust that guy. I assume if you're the coach, you play the guy the quarterback wants out there because the quarterback is the one who makes the decision as where the ball goes. And it reminds me a lot of a story that I saw on the Football Life documentary about Dan Marino. So Aronde Gadsden is a wide receiver who was on the Dolphins back towards the end of Dan Marino's era in Miami. And the story that Aronde Gadsden told in the Dan Marino documentary was they were playing a playoff game in Indianapolis. It was fourth down, and they called timeout. And Jimmy Johnson, the head coach, says to Aronde Gadsden, run the curl and Dan's going to hit you with the ball. He said, okay, coach. And he runs out into the huddle. And Marino says, Aronde, run the go and I'm going to get it to you. And Aronde Gadsden sitting there thinking, wait a minute, hold on. The head coach just told me to run the curl. The quarterback, Dan Marino, just told me to run the go. What do I do? And he said in the documentary, it's hilarious. He goes, I'm sitting there thinking, if I run the go and Dan's looking for the curl and we don't complete it, coach is cutting me. Because coach said run the curl. But he also said, the guy who makes the decision is the guy with the ball. And so if he says run the go, I'm running the go. And Aronde Gadsden ran the go ball and Dan Marino hit him and they won the game. And my favorite part in that documentary is they showed Jimmy Johnson on the sidelines and Jimmy jumped for joy. He couldn't believe it. He was so happy when they scored the touchdown and they won the game. And it moral of the story is these coaches don't care as long as they win. But again, if the quarterback wants something, ultimately you kind of got to do what the quarterback wants you to do. And when the quarterback today was given an opportunity to kind of highlight who it is he really feels has developed, he did not hesitate to go all in on NWI. And I keep saying, do not rule him out for that spot. Do not rule him out. 615-737-1025 is our phone number, 615-737-1025. One texter says, without a time machine filled with GM and coaches, we'll never know the locational outcomes or success of NFL players. All we have is speculation. I do believe Mahomes would still be good, but the Chiefs and Andy Reid made him a first ballot Hall of Famer. What if the Colts had taken Ryan Leaf? Would that have worked out better for him? I think it's a fair question. In fact, I think the makeup was part of the reason that they didn't take Ryan Leaf. But I do think it's a fair question. If he had gone somewhere with Bill Polian as the general manager, with Marvin Harrison at wide receiver, with Marshall Faulk at running back, would Ryan Leaf have made it? Probably not. But again, what's funny about Ryan Leaf, and we talk about how these teams develop quarterbacks and ruin quarterbacks and things of that magnitude. Floyd, when he watched Josh Allen at the Combine, said, physically, he reminds me of Ryan Leaf. One throw will be on the money 50 yards down the field. The next throw will be in the dirt. The difference is Buffalo drafted Josh Allen and brought him along slowly. San Diego drafted Ryan Leaf and expected him to carry the franchise. 615-737-1025 is our phone number, 615-737-1025. There's one Titan who, I hate to say it, but we told you so, and I'm done with the excuse making. We'll get to that next. Stillman & Company, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
The rest schedule similar to Snead, or was today just an off day for an injury day?
Jamal was on a management, so he was off today. Yep.
That was real detailed there from the coach about Jamal Adams. So I saw this today. I was not going to leave the house at 7:30 to go to Brian Callahan's 8 a.m. press conference. I'm
too early?
Sorry. Yes. I am not leaving the house. Look, I appreciate the fact that practice is earlier than it was last year because it was quite a tight squeeze when practice would end at like 12:30 and the press conferences would be over at 1:30 and then we're on the air at 2. You know, that was kind of a tight squeeze. But I am not waking up at 6 in the morning as a grown-ass man with all the stuff that I have to do. I am not doing that in order to get to Brian Callahan's press conference that apparently they can't even shoot video at. So, sorry, but apparently today Brian Callahan told the media that the reason why Jamal Adams is unable to practice is because of, did you hear what the injury was?
No.
Muscle soreness.
Okay.
Muscle soreness. I'm sorry, what sport do they play? Is this football? Or is this, you know, baseball, where it's like, Skip, I'm a little sore today. I need out of the lineup.
Well, he is coming off some major stuff, right?
No, he said he was fine. He said he was healthy. He said, finally, amen, hallelujah. Thank God I am healthy. Here's the reality. Jamal Adams is always going to be hurt. What is the old saying? Dumb guys stay dumb, fat guys stay fat, and injured guys stay injured. So when it comes to Jamal Adams, and the Titans were at least smart enough not to give him a bunch of money and smart enough not to push all their chips in and say, no, 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 we're done. We got Jamal. That's it. But if any of you actually think, like if you're counting on Jamal Adams to be a difference maker for this football team, you're a fool. I heard the morning show today talking about this. Paul and Joe and, oh my God, think about all the guys they can use in the secondary. Do we have that stupid Joe take from the other day about how great this secondary is going to be? Where Joe said, the most accomplished secondary in franchise history. Granted, it was not as accomplished as the one 5 years ago, but that's okay. But again, they're like, oh yeah, they can use Adams as the big nickel and take Roger McCreary off the field. They are not taking Roger McCreary off the field to put Grandpa Adams out there who has to take 6 days off of practice for every one day that he does practice because he is sore. Why did he miss practice today? He's sore. Give me a break. I just think with Jamal Adams, there's no coming back. He's hurt. That is what it is. And when they signed him, you know, again, that's kind of like a TV name. You know, Jamal Adams, what do we think? A TV loves that kind of guy. And I got to tell you, when I hear that and I hear the Titans kind of push back, is Jeffrey Simmons paying attention? You know, Jeffrey Simmons got his panties in a wad over Buck, you know, tweeting out that Jamal Adams or what was. I don't even remember what it was. I can't even follow anymore what Simmons is mad about. But Simmons got his panties in a wad all over the media sitting there and saying, oh, dear God, when they signed Jeffrey Simmons or when they signed Jamal Adams, he got all upset about it, all worked up about it. It's like because we all have eyeballs and we know this guy never freaking plays. And it's like, no, no, no. He's healthy now, Jared. You'll see. And he's missed like 2 weeks in a row. And they're saying it's for muscle soreness. Muscle soreness.
Better safe than sorry.
Muscle soreness. My muscles are sore today, and I still went to practice. Muscle soreness.
Putting in that workout practice, are you?
Give me a freaking break. Muscle soreness. I will say this for Jamal Adams. I was impressed by his press conference. He does seem like a good dude. So there is that. But my God, you played 10 games over 2 years. You have to sign for the veteran minimum because everybody in your grandma knows you can't stay healthy. They've already signed another safety, thank God, because they needed one. And yet the coach is telling everybody he's missing for muscle soreness.
It's a slow build. Slow build.
Go get some icy hot and get your ass on the field.
At least they didn't give him a huge contract. So, I mean.
And they signed somebody else, yeah. Which is, you know,
he's a bonus almost at this point. Hey, certain package, maybe certain games, put him in there, maybe steal you a sack if you're lucky. But, yeah.
Starting to like the synchronized swimming.
Oh, yeah?
They got the French team out there. Big fan. Of some of these athletes that they have out there. 615-737-1025 is our phone number, 615-737-1025. Jared from Spring Hill says, Will Levis definitely listens to your show. I mean, I'm not going to say he doesn't, but I doubt it. I mean, I don't know. How would I mean, every now and then guys make it obvious when they listen to your show, like Simmons or Peter Laviolette one time. You know, he would be asked questions. One time he was asked about Pecorine, and I think it was like John Glennon asked him a question about Pecorine, and Laviolette turns and looks right at me and is like, I think playing goalie in the NHL is the hardest job in all of sports. I don't think you can compare it to a quarterback in football or a pitcher in baseball. I was like, I think that's pretty much me he's talking about there. Chad says, Joe is absolutely going to shred you for your NWI over Burks take. Why would Joe shred me for that?
He's the NWI number one fan club.
He's the leader of the everything that I've said about NWI, everything that Will Levis said today about NWI is everything that Joe has been preaching about NWI for like 7 years. Why would Joe shred that take? Joe wouldn't know, though. He wasn't watching practice yesterday or today. He was just sitting
easy,
over there.
Easy.
Gossiping with Steve Lehman.
Sure.
I don't even know what they were gossiping about.
Solving the world's problems. Come on.
Steven says, isn't it obvious the Titans signed Adams to persuade Diggs? I don't think you guys understand how the NFL works. How many of you work a job because your friends work at the same job? Now, how many of you work a job because they pay you the most money to do what you want to do? I would argue most of you would pick option B. In fact, Adams said after he signed with the Titans, he said, look, I'm not going to push him to join any team. I'd love him to be here, but I'm not going to push for it. If anything, I think Adams, a week into training camp, saying, coach, I'm sore. I need 7 weeks off. I think that was probably the justification for signing Quandre Diggs. Not the justification for signing Jamal Adams is to go get Quandre Diggs. If you want Quandre Diggs, you just go sign Quandre Diggs. I always laugh when people say things like every February this happens when we get down to the nitty-gritty of free agency. And we're talking about, you know, what should the Titans go after Johnny or Jimmy or, and it's like, nobody wants to come to this trash organization. L'Jarius Sneed did. Chidobe Awuzie did. Calvin Ridley did. You want to know why they wanted to come to the Titans? The money. That's why everybody goes everywhere. I'll never forget the behind the scenes with Calais Campbell when he was a free agent all those years ago when he signed with Jacksonville. And he's there with Tom Condon, his agent, and they're talking through the different teams and everything. And Jacksonville makes this massive offer. And Calais Campbell's like, what did Arizona say? They go, Arizona said they love you, but they're not matching the offer. He's like, all right, Jacksonville it is. 615-737-1025 is our phone number, 615-737-1025. There is a big, and I mean big, development at training camp, and it continued today. It's good news. We'll get to it next. Stillman & Company, 102.5, 106 for the game.